Hi, welcome to the Chaz Palminteri Show. We have a really special guest on today, an Academy Award nominated actor and a world-class poker player, if I say so myself, the wonderful, great Jennifer Tilly. Jennifer, how are you?
Hi, Chaz. It's so good to see you again.
It's so good to see you. You know, I was reading about your career, and one of your first breaks was, you know, you and I, we worked together a few times, and it seems like we have this matching career here. One of your first jobs was on Hill Street Blues.
Yes, I know. You know, and it's funny because my ex-husband, Sam, said that my agent told me to take Cheers and Taxi off of my resume. And I went, why? Those are fantastic shows. And he said, well, it makes me look too old. And I was like, maybe I should take Hill Street Blues off of my resume.
No. Look, Hill Street Blues was a great show. And that was my first real break on television.
That was a fantastic show. I didn't know you were on it. I really feel like Netflix or somebody should stream that, you know, because people don't really know that show and how huge it was. And I remember those were the good old days, because I think they had a full order. And the first couple seasons, they were at the very bottom of the Nielsen ratings. I don't even know if they have Nielsen ratings anymore. Right. And then the audience discovered it and fell in love with it. And then it took off. And I remember when I got Hill Street Blues, and of course, I was very early in my career, the guy I was dating at the time, I thought, oh, he's going to be, oh no, the guy I had just broken up with. Oh. I thought, oh, he's going to be so proud I'm on Hill Street Blues, which is the show all the actors wanted to be on.
Right.
It's like the actor's show. And then he actually called me up, even though he was my ex-boyfriend by then. And he said, wow, I'm just pretty upset because, you know, they killed you. He said that was kind of shocking to see. when I was on the show, I did one episode, and then they really liked me and they brought me back. And it was the beginning of a long line of mobsters, gangsters, girlfriends. I play a lot of mobster girlfriends in my career. And I ended up doing 6 episodes, and they called my agent. And they go, you know, we really love Jennifer. And he's like, thank you. And he goes, we love her so much. In the next episode, we want to kill her. And he went, kill her? I thought you said you loved her. And they go, well, you know, we don't want to make a television-y show. We want people to know this is real life and dangerous things can happen. And, you know, we have like, I think they had 18 regular cast members. They're like, we can't kill off our regular cast members. So we wait until there's like a guest star that everybody really likes, and then we kill them off. And he was like, great. And they said, well, it's such an honor. And you know, that when she gets killed off, the entire episode will be about her. They sort of implied, you know, Emmy was waiting in the wings, my wonderful episode where I get killed. I thought, well, maybe I'll be hooked up to a machine and I'll take a long time to die and, you know, perhaps cry real tears. And then I get the script that I'm flipping through for my amazing part. And they also said the whole next season would be about who killed Gina Scrignoli. That I remember they said that too. And I thought, well, that's great. I'll be alive in everyone's memory.
Right.
So I flip through. And it gets to like, you know, towards the end. And, you know, they always ended the show with Daniel Travanti and Veronica Hamill in bed talking about the day. That was sort of the custom. And then one page after that, they had me at a restaurant. I'm babbling on. I'm like, oh, I think I should take some cooking classes. A guy walks up, shoots me in the head. I die instantly. And that was the end of me. And to add insult to injury, a lot of people didn't see it because they thought the show was over when Veronica Hamill and Daniel Travanti were in bed. Yeah. The mom of, who's the guy? The guy that produced the show. I forget what his name was.
Bochco.
Stephen Bochco's mom was really mad. She said, I went to the hairdresser. Everybody said they killed Gina. I watched the show. I didn't see it. She's like, you should have warned me. And I thought, well, that was really disappointing, but I couldn't wait till next season when the whole season was going to be about who killed me. In the first episode, everyone's forgotten about me. How could you forget about me? I'm adorable. And the guy I was engaged to, Joe, I think his name was Joe and his character's name, he was a little bit depressed. And everyone was like, stop moping around. You think you're the only one that had anything bad happen to you? Like his fiance is killed and falls into his lap. At the end of the episode, he realized he was being selfish and he had been a Debbie Downer to be upset about Gina, and you never heard about me again.
And so that was it.
That was it.
You also worked with I just like to talk about, so many people know you from some of these movies, but they don't know some of the beginning stuff you did. You played Gary Shandling's girlfriend.
Yes, I did. In fact, I was thinking about that the other day. I did. He had a show before the Gary Shandling show, which was right. the talk show, the one where he played the, you know, cranky talk show host based on No One We Know.
Yes.
I mean, that was really the typical talk show host. So he had a show before that, and it was called It's Gary Shandling Show. And it was sort of a precursor to all the reality shows we have today. The whole conceit was that his life was a show. He had a studio audience and everything,
right.
and that people would follow along. And I played his girlfriend. I forget what her name was. But I beat out Gina Davis and Sharon Stone for the part. Of course, that was before they were stars, of course. You know, if I was going to beat them out for a part, it would be really nice if it was like for Basic Instinct or The Accidental Tourist. But I did beat them out for the Gary Shandling, It's Gary Shandling Show. I did, it was a two-part episode. And so I play his girlfriend that's really uncomfortable with everybody watching what I do. So I remember first he brings me out and he goes, hello. Oh, this is my new girlfriend. And her name is, it's Gary. Oh, her name was Angelica. They even changed the theme song. So they changed the theme song to It's Gary and Angelica Show. Gary and Angelica Show. And they shot new titles too. And the titles were all like, I Love Lucy. Like he'd be holding up a shirt that had a big iron mark in it. And I, you know, right. like ironing burn. And I'd be like this. And I'd be riding on his back. And we'd be playing poker. And I won all the chips. That was before I was a poker player. So he brings me out. And he goes, this is Angelica. She's going to be she's my girlfriend. And, you know, she's new. And I was all like shy. And then he goes, go on, Angelica, say something to them. This was my line, of course. And I go, the Gary Shandling audience is the best audience in the whole world. And everybody cheered.
Wow.
They loved me. And that's how I learned to kind of pander to audiences when I do talk shows.
Well,
all you have to do is say you're a great audience and everybody loves a compliment.
Absolutely. Well, Jennifer, you're one of those actors, and I always say that, you know, you can go from playing comedy to serious drama. I mean, one of the movies that I really loved you in, I thought you were great. I mean, great was Bound with our friend Joey Pantoliano and obviously Joey. Gina.
Joey was genius in that. And Gina also. I love that movie.
Yeah, Gina and you were just, what a great movie. I always tell people, if you haven't seen that movie Bound, watch it, rent it. It's just
it was
a terrific movie.
The Wachowskis' first movie before they did
and
that.
When we worked together with Woody Allen, what's that?
Oh my God, I loved I loved working with you. What are we talking over?
No, I'm saying a lot of people don't realize when you did Bullets Over Broadway, when we did that together, how difficult it is to play dumb. It's really difficult.
It is really difficult. Yes.
Yes, and you did it. So incredible, because people were saying, is that her
that
voice and the way she, I said, no, I said, that is not Jennifer. I said, first of all, people don't realize, and obviously that's why you got nominated, and the way you just played dumb, but smart. And I remember Woody allowed both of us to improv in that.
Right.
And we just had a ball.
My agent called up Woody Allen's person and said, you know, Jennifer wants to be in a Woody Allen movie. Oh, look at my, I got a little smear on my mascara. Hopefully your audience won't notice.
No, so it looks great.
They go, Jennifer would like to be in a Woody Allen movie. And she said, oh, well, you know, Woody, he basically casts people he sees in the New York theater. And I was like, I'm packing my bags. I'm going to New York.
So really?
I got into play at the Roundabout Theater. Yeah. And then my agent sent, she sent my reel and she goes, maybe Woody would like to come see Jennifer in her play. He didn't come see my play, but he saw my reel. And he thought that girl would be perfect for Olive. So I was really nervous. And this is, you know, right after the big scandal broke. So
right.
I went in and I think you were in the waiting room. Weren't you in the waiting room when I went in to audition? Do you remember, or is that a false memory? Is that a recovered memory? No, maybe
you know
not.
What? I think I was.
I think you were, because I said to you, I go, do you know how he auditions? Because we didn't get any scenes or anything like that. And you said, well, my friends that have auditioned, they say sometimes it's the shortest audition on record. They go
and it
in,
was.
He looks at him. He goes, thank you for coming in. And they're on the subway back to New Jersey before they even know what hit them.
That's right.
And, oh, is that your wife? You can take that phone
call.
No,
no, it's okay. Go ahead.
Is it the IRS? Okay. So he goes, it's your wife. She's like, you're not done yet? Oh, my gosh.
No.
Okay. So anyway, I thought that he said, but if he likes you, he'll say, oh, maybe you can read something, you know, from read some pages. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I hope it's the latter. So I went in. And he looked at me, and then he said, oh, I have some pages I want you to read. And I was like, yes. So I went out. It was 12 pages. It was the entire first scene. I mean, that's a lot of pages to do cold.
Yes.
So I go back in, and, you know, my character's stomping around and yelling at her boyfriend and everything. And I kept losing my place on the page. So when I lost my place, I would just make up stuff until I found my page. So it was very, very messy. There was a lot of improvising. Like, also, right. Too, you know, sometimes the person reading with you, they're like, where is she? So I would just fill in all the empty spaces.
Right.
And then afterwards, I go, maybe I could try that again. And he goes, no, I think we've seen all we need to see. So I was like, oh no, I blew it. And then in the paper I read in the Variety, it goes, in Woody Allen's movie, apparently it's between me and Cyndi Lauper for the Cyndi part Lauper. Of Cyndi Lauper.
Wow.
And they called my agent, they are very angry. And it also said, oh, his movie about gangsters in the 20s or whatever. And they said, did Jennifer leak this? He's like, how could she even leak it? She didn't even get the script. She doesn't even know what it's about. She didn't know she's up against Cyndi Lauper. So then the next phone call I got, and this is one thing I love about him, is that I did not have to do any audition. They were like, well, you have the part, which is astonishing. Because when you're a starting out person, a lot of times, you know, the people in charge love being in charge. Like for The Doors, I think I auditioned like 8 times and then I got the part. He gave me a little part, but I didn't get the part that I was up for. Kathleen Quinlan came in and he decided it was she got the part. So it was a Kathleen right. Quinlan part. But anyway, I loved working with you. And the thing that was funny about that movie is some people were allowed to improvise and some people weren't allowed to improvise.
I say that to people.
But you had to guess which one you were. So he loved when you and I improvised because we're wonderful. John Cusack was allowed to improvise.
Yes.
And I remember the first day I said, Woody must like you. And he's like, why? He was so nervous. I go, well, I mean, since the second or third movie you've done with him. And he said, and he gave you the Woody Allen part. He goes, I'm the Woody Allen part? I was like, yeah, it seemed obvious. And then after that, he got more and more Woody Allen-y in his portrayal. Diane Weiss, she would be allowed to improvise, but she said to us, she's very anxious. In the beginning, apparently, she had to reshoot this one scene 8 times. She said, but I can't think of anything to say, so I just stick to the script. And then the English actors I found interesting. One of them, the one that played the actor that I was having the affair with, what's his name?
Oh, Jim Broadbent.
Jim Broadbent, him and Tracy Ullman, they really like to stick to the script. So they did not like the sort of free for all atmosphere because English is super, super precise and structured. And I said to Jim Broadbent, he'd worked with this director in England that it was famous for all their movies being totally improvised. You probably know the name. Everything flies out of my head at this time of day. But he said, no, what we do, we improvise for a month. Then they write it down. They make a script out of it. And then when you're filming, you stick to the script. So I actually ran into a little, it was odd because Tracy, I think, had also auditioned for Olive. And, you know, my ex-husband had produced a Tracy Ullman show, and she's insanely talented. And I would sit in the audience like a little acting student, and I'd just watch her be brilliant. So anyway, I go on the set, and she goes, every day in the makeup trailer, she would go, eh, I love that scene with Olive tomorrow when she goes, saying my lines. And I felt like it's for the benefit of the people in the makeup room thinking like, oh, Tracy would have been a much better Olive than Jennifer. And I just sit there and go, but I'm not going to go, did it. I'm going to go, did it. I was like, I'm not going to fall into her rhythm, you know?
Right. Jennifer, I have to ask you, because my wife and I, we use that line you always say, oh, Mr. Producer. Was that in the script or was that just something you did?
I think that was in the script, but I did improvise charm, 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 charm.
Oh, charm, charm, charm.
Because he said charm him a little. So I thought she would think it was very fancy to say charmed. And then I love the scene with you where I'm eating the chocolates and you're helping me with my lines. But we improvised all that stuff. Like, you're like, that's not in the script. I'm going, I added it. You're like, you're not allowed to add stuff. And I go, it's called improvising. And then you said, shut up. And I go, you shut up. No, you go, shut up, and you waved your fist. And I go, you shut up. You shut up. And you said afterwards, you go, Jennifer, you go, I thought when I waved my fist at you, that would shut you up. But nothing shuts you up, does it?
That's right. I thought I would scare you, but you came right back at me.
But people, I loved our relationship. I'm just going to talk over you for a second.
Go ahead.
I loved our relationship in that show because it was very brother and sister, but I felt like there was like a Latin, like, she, you know, even though she's yelling at you and everything, like I felt like there was some sort of like chemistry, like she was attracted to you.
Yes.
And, like, perhaps your character was attracted to her, but really disgusted that you would be attracted to such a bimbo. I mean, that was sort of like what I saw when I saw the movie, not when I was doing it, but I just loved working with you because I find it very sexy when somebody is, you know, brilliant and really works well. And I have to say, when the movie came out, all my girlfriends, everybody was like, oh my God, that Chaz Palminteri, like, he's so hot. But you know what it is? It's because you're really just like smart, but you're not like a himbo. You know, you weren't like, you know, like one of those Baywatch guys with all, you know, 5 million.
No, far from it. Yes.
Yeah. So it was like sort of your talent and the character that you played, like your character was the one honest, true, non-affected person in the movie.
Yes.
So you were the voice of morality, oddly. I think it's one of Woody Allen's best films. And then
no question.
My whole eye is like melting down my face, but that's okay. These things happen, you know, because when you were a little bit late, I thought, I'm going to go put some more eyeliner on and be.
No, look, honey, I swear, it looks great. You look great. Okay.
But anyway, I know that we only have half an hour, but what was I saying?
Oh, we're good.
So Miramax, they were not promoting it. They put Diane Wiest in the leading actress category, in the supporting actress category. And I'm like, that's a leading actress if I ever saw one. But even when Olive in the movie is going, a lead has all the lines. A lead gets to kiss the main guy. I don't get to kiss no one. I'm like, okay, she has all the lines. They call her the lead. She gets to kiss John Cusack. She's in 2/3 of the movie. But, you know, they said that they thought that she, and rightly so, that she could, and she was brilliant. But, you know, of course, you don't want the brilliant Diane Wiest in your category. But I was so naive back then, is I just thought that, if your movie came out, you're eligible. I didn't realize you had to be submitted by the studio. So they did not submit me for SAG Award, Golden Globe Award, any of these awards. They never submitted me because they didn't want to split the vote. They knew Diane was going to win. So Diane won everything. And I don't know if they submitted you either, but then when everybody saw it, then they, you know who they were pushing for the, for Academy Award though? They were pushing Tracy Ullman. They're pushing John Cusack, Tracy Ullman, and Diane Wiest. So then when we got nominated, then they had to scramble, and then they took out some ads, but I took out all my own ads. I was like, thank God Miramax is so cheap, because I didn't have any money. A full color ad in Variety is like $700. A black and white ad, I think, was $300. So I take these black and white pictures. I had a picture of me with all the feathers, and Woody Allen, for some reason, laughing. So it's like he's laughing because I'm so brilliant. And then I slap the Miramax logo in the corner. I put all my quotes in it and everything, and I got nominated. And then they were pretty upset over at Miramax, I heard, because I had a friend that was working over there, because they were really worried I was going to split the vote, because Diane didn't like to do publicity, and I'm poor for publicity, and all the talk show people are just really happy to have me on. So that's also how I got nominated. I said Jay Leno goes early on, he goes, hey, does Jennifer want to come on and, you know, for her Oscar campaign for Bullets? And I thought, what Oscar campaign? Because I already hadn't been nominated for anything. And I said, well, I will if he uses the phrase Oscar buzz in my introduction. he goes, sure, sure. So I was standing in the wings, and he goes, my next guest has Oscar buzz surrounding her performance. And I thought really smugly, she does now.
She does now. That's it. Well, you know, we both were nominated. It was a wonderful experience. And people don't realize that scene where I kill you, you know, I remember what he said to us. There was really no dialogue. What he said, you know, you guys just, you know, make it up. And I started talking to you about a Moonlight Cruise. And you were like, what Moonlight Cruise? And we did this whole thing. And people just, that's such a memorable scene that people always talk about that scene.
You got, oh. I arranged a special screening for my ex-husband. And, you know, we were divorced for a long time and we got a lot closer after we were divorced because, you know, he didn't have to live with me. I can be really annoying. Imagine that. But so I took him to a private screening there were some, you know, journalists there too. So anyway, he loved the movie. He saw Olive as me. I'm like, no, Olive is a really untalented actress that used to, you know, shake her cans in some little joint in Hoboken. But he kept going. He was really standing up for me. And then when the understudy came in, stood in for me, she got a standing ovation. He goes, what? And he kind of talks out loud. He goes, she wasn't better than you. She goes, they're crazy. You were better than him. And then when you were driving me out to the dock, Sam started getting louder and louder. He goes, what's going on? Where is he taking you? What? And then when they go boom, 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 he goes, does this mean you're never going to make it to Broadway? He was so mad. He yelled right out loud. And then as soon as it was really obvious, I was dead. He goes, come on, honey, let's get out of here. I go, but it's not the end of the movie. He goes, it is for me. He didn't want to stay for the rest of the movie. He identified so much with Olive's struggle.
Wow, that's amazing.
Right, but I loved working on that movie. And then we worked on Modern Family together.
Modern Family together. We played, that's right. Again, we were a couple. What a great show that was for us. That's a Modern Family.
It was really fun, and I worked on another show before that called Out of Practice with some of the Modern Family producers produced a show called Out of Practice, which never took off, and it was with Henry Winkler. And I always thought, like, you know, I don't know if you're new agey, but when I was young in high school, we did a little sketch where I was one of the girls hanging around the jukebox that got to kiss the Fonz, who was like sort of a pimply eighth grader. And I went home, I wrote my little journal. I went, someday I'm going to go to Hollywood and kiss the real Fonz. And it's funny how things work out because I was Henry Winkler's girlfriend and I had to kiss him every single episode. And we did 13 episodes. But so anyway, when they called me up for Modern Family and they said I was working with you, I was so excited. And I love our characters. And I was really hoping that they would bring us on more. But, you know, I love both of them. We did two episodes on that. And, you know, I actually played poker with one of the producers, but I didn't realize he was one of the producers. So I sort of whined a little bit to him. I just knew he worked on the show. But he said, we're thinking of bringing you and Chaz back. But, you know, the second time we worked, remember when we said we were going to Costa Rica? That was a stressful day because I mostly play poker now. And, you know, I'm a brilliant actress, but you get a little nervous. You're on a set, it's an award-winning show, and, you know, everyone's in, you know, you. So I kind of went to the rehearsal, and I was a little bit nervous. And, you know, when you're doing the camera blocking rehearsal, you're just kind of saying the lines while they figure out where to put the camera. You're not really acting. You know, sometimes I like to make the crew laugh a little bit. So we did it. We did the scene, and I was like, oh, what was I worried about? I'm like, genius. This scene is easy peasy. And I thought, oh, it's going to be so much fun. Like, why am I so insecure? And there was a thing that I was going to do when the camera started rolling, but I didn't want to waste it. Because, you know, that's why you're really low energy in rehearsal. Sure. You don't want to waste it. So I was at half speed. I was, you know, pretty subtle. And the director comes into the dressing room, and he goes, Jennifer, I'm not sure if you've really, have you seen a lot of our show? And I was like, oh no, I haven't, you know, gotten around to seeing it. And he goes, well, okay, it's not a cartoon. And I was like, I've never been criticized in my life. I mean, I took that as criticism. He might not have exactly said it's not a cartoon. He goes, you know, this show is, he goes, it's a comedy, but it's real subtle. I mean, these are real people. He goes, they behave in real ways. And I was like, oh, Okay. He's like, can you try to bring it down a little? And it really shocked me because I was only at half speed. And I had a thing that I was going to do when they said I, because I dressed, we were moving to Puerto Rico and I was very excited. And I had the wardrobe people. We had fun with the wardrobe. I put a flower behind my ear, like how I thought people would dress in Puerto Rico. I was wearing a tropical dress, and then they're like, what's your secret? And I was gonna go, we're going to Puerto Rico, ay, 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 ay. And I thought, oh, I probably shouldn't do that. I was so proud of my thing that I was gonna do, but I was so chastened, I thought maybe I would get fired on the spot. So wow. They go, well, so what's your secret? And I was like, we're going to Puerto Rico. Yeah. That's right. It's wow. I actually said, we're going to Puerto Rico.
Jennifer, how did you like, because so many people always say that when I told them I was going to have you on the show, mm-hmm. a lot of people really love that film Bride of Chucky. I mean, they love that stuff.
I'm worried that I'm going to be, you know, like Elvira, or the guy that was in The Lone Ranger, that he's like 60 years old. Strapping on his Lone Ranger like little mask and going places. And you know, the thing is, people know me from Bride of Chucky than pretty much anything else, and it's my fault because I did 4 Chucky movies. Can't help myself. I really love that show and I love my character, and I'm actually going to be doing a Chucky television series this fall, which I'm thinking might be my last hurrah. I mean,
why not? Like,
I don't know. I don't want to be like have Chucky chasing me.
No, but are you? Is there any line that they yell at you on the street when you're walking on the street, or say something to you from Bride of Chucky?
Chucky line. I don't know. Before Chucky, you know, gay guys used to always come up to me and say charm, 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 charm,
charm,
they
charm.
Say that. Chucky, I think they just yell Chucky. I'll walk down the street and people are screaming Chucky. I'll get off a plane in countries I didn't even know existed, and they know one word, and that's Chucky. So they'll point in the middle and they'll go Chucky. And all the little kids know me from Chucky, which is like, it's not even PG-17. It's like it's not even PG. It's a restricted movie.
Right.
So I'm like, what? How are all these kids watching this movie? I know.
Exactly.
I don't think I'd let my kids watch a Chucky movie, but kids love Chucky. They love Chucky.
I have to tell you that character, that doll, scared. That was like freaky scary. It really was.
My boyfriend saw that movie when he was a kid. My boyfriend's a little younger than me. The first Child's Play movie. He took all his sister's dolls and he put them in a garage and in a bag. And the next day he was going to walk to the dump, which was about 2 miles away, and dispose of them, because that evil, he thought, should not be in the house. But luckily, his mother found out his nefarious plans and, you know, and made him put the dolls back in his sister's room.
You know, a lot of people don't realize, because you played a lot of these, you know, crazy parts, that, I mean, I know how good of an actress you are. Mm-hmm. You did Broadway. You were in The Women, right?
Right. The Women. I had full frontal nudity in The Women. And that was my idea, because I remember I was up for a play called, I think it was Les Terribles Parents, or The Terrible. Somebody was terrible. And Jude Law was in it. And Cynthia Nixon got my part, as she should. But I really wanted it. And then I did a movie with Jude Law. And he's very famous for that movie because he stood up naked in a bathtub. And then there was another actor, I forget the guy who was in Dracula, Frank Langella, stood up naked in a bathtub. And then I did the show Once You Off, and my co-star Danny Gerald stood up naked in a bathtub.
So wow.
My mind, you're not a real actress until you stood up naked in a bathtub on Broadway. So I get The Women and I have a whole scene with this little kid in a bathtub. And I said to Scott Elia, I go, I think I should stand up. It'll be terrifying if I say, and he's like, oh yes, you know, everyone gets very excited. Everyone loves nudity, like
in yes.
a room with somebody that's totally naked. So I did, the first time I stood up, I was so, I almost couldn't get up. The tub was really slippery and, you know, it wasn't very sexy.
Right.
Like, whoa. And so then they put these handles in the bathtub. So I held onto the handles and I pushed myself up, and it was very iconic. In fact, the ad was me. It was me in the bathtub with a whole bunch of bubbles, and word got around. Everyone wanted to see Jennifer Tilly naked in the bathtub. But my boyfriend at the time, he was English, and he was very, he is, you know, those English people, they're uptight. They go to boarding school. That's how they learn about sex, you know, with other men. he said, are you really going to be naked? And I go, he didn't understand my sense of humor either. He says, you would make jokes and then you fall about laughing. And I'm like, well, somebody has to laugh, because he just looks at me like, mm-hmm. So wow. He said, are you really going to be naked? And I go, of course not. I'm going to be wearing bubbles. I'm going to be covered with bubbles. So he went to see the show and he came backstage. He was white. He goes, Jennifer, when you stood up, something terrible happened. All the bubbles slid off and we could see everything. God, are you that naive?
Wow.
And then later on, he was ruminating. He goes, I've never actually seen you standing up naked before. And I realized it was true, because it was the English thing. Like, I would run, I'd put on my little sex outfit. I would run into the bedroom. I'd lie down the bed, turn the lights really down low. I'd be like, I'm ready. And then he would come and he would like lift up little parts of my outfit that he needed to, you know, gain entree. Yeah. And that we really did have kind of an uptight sex life, I guess. But I enjoyed it. They recorded it for PBS. And I was like, hey, can I not be naked on PBS? They're like, don't worry, Miss Tilly. Nobody wants to see that. But now I kind of wish, because I was kind of spectacular then, even though I was 40 at the time, I looked pretty damn good. So I think you see me from the back. I don't even think you see some butt crack, you know, but you see Kristen Johnson's horrified reaction. Oh, there was another thing too. When we were doing that, the wardrobe people, we were raising money for Broadway Cares. And so they'd have these auctions afterwards, you know, where you auction off stuff, sure, raise money for charity. And there were some actresses, one in particular, that just hated it. They just thought it was like so cheesy. Like, they already bought a $150 ticket. Now you're asking them for charity money. So, but there was competitions between us and 42nd Street. We were the top earners, because we always came up with ideas. So I came up with the best idea, because, you know, I'm attention whore. And I said, how about I'll bring in a swimsuit, and then we'll bring in like another swimsuit and some boxer shorts, and we'll auction off that somebody can be in the bathtub with me, and we'll take like, you know, 12 pictures and we'll send them the pictures. I mean, who wouldn't love that? Especially like all my gay following, to be in the bathtub, in the iconic bathtub picture with me. Oh my gosh, when this one actress found out, she was in such a rage. She goes, what the fuck are we doing here? And I'm like, raising money for a
child. We're raising money, yes.
But I guess because it would have been all about me, which is like, I love, but other people don't love as much. So we ended up not doing it. But I thought that would have been.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that was good. Jennifer, we're approaching the end of our interview. And I always like to ask actors, what advice, and I know this is tough, but if you get an actor, a young actor comes to you and says, you know, I really want to do what you do. Could you give me any advice? Is there anything that you say to them?
Well, it's very hard to break in. And, you know, you look at the movie stars in their Dolce & Gabbana or whatever, and you think it's really easy. It took me 4 years in Hollywood to finally get my first part. But I would say, if you really want to, I mean, just persist. I got my equity card by working as a receptionist at the LA Actors Theater. If you work in areas, you know, you're an assistant, because I kept going, I'm an actor. One day an actor didn't show up for a reading, and they're like, oh, Jennifer's an actress. Like, they're throwing me a bone. Like, maybe Jennifer can read that part. And then they loved how I read the part so much that I got the part. So, you know, if you want to be an actor, you're not going to get discovered in your little hometown. You have to go to New York or go to LA, or, you know, go Toronto if you're Canadian, where the action is, and just, you know, be persistent. And then the other thing I would say is, be yourself, because there's only one you. There's like a million, you know, you can't say, oh, I'm going to be like Julie Roberts or Charlize Theron, because there's only one of them. And when I first was starting out, people were like, oh my God, our voice is so fucking annoying, like, can we, you know, they were trying to train me out of it. But I had one vocal teacher, and he said, you know what, you have the same voice as Annie Potts, who also went to Stevens College. And he said, most people would try to train you out of this, but I think it's what makes you unique, and it's gonna make you make a mark in the world. And I've had people say, no, I've literally heard someone say, no way is that voice going to be in my movie. And then other people love it. And, you know, I do the voice of Tiffany, which is very iconic, and I'm also, I do a lot of cartoon voices, actually. And
right, Family Guy, right?
Bonnie on Family Guy, and I was Celia in Monsters, Inc., and Monsters, Inc., we're doing a television series now. So I'd say take what's unique to you and make it work for you. Like, you're a perfect example, Chaz. So there was a period of time where you weren't, you know, going out on things, and you wrote A Bronx Tale, which is like a brilliant play and a wonderful, wonderful movie, and Robert De Niro saw it, and he wanted to do it. And that was a fantastic performance of yours also. I mean, I was so honored to work with you, and you were so brilliant in Bullets Over Broadway, and Bullets Over Broadway and Bound are my two favorite movies that I've ever done. Oh, and I have to say Chucky too. I really do enjoy the Chucky movies, but it's like a romp. It's like saying my favorite food is, fried chicken. And then you have to say, oh, I like cupcakes too, you know, which is not particularly.
Right. When people say Bullets is one of Woody Allen's best movies, that's a big compliment. I find that is a big compliment.
Think it is. It's one of my, and it's just the Valentine to Broadway and to actors.
Right. Well, Jennifer, thank you for that great advice. And thank you for your talent. And thank you for this time. You're just a doll. You're wonderful. And we worked together twice already. And I can't wait to do it again.
Again.
And again and again. And we will. God bless you. And thank you so much. And good luck to you, honey.
Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Okay. And when you do yours, I'll be on it.
Okay, absolutely. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.